What up, everyone? It's the final episode. We made it the entire way through. We're talking about Iron Fist episode 13, Dragon Plays with Fire. I choked a little bit on my phlegm there, but we got through it. Let's do it on AfterBuzz.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, guys, got a little dead there for a second, but I made it through just like Harold did.
Maybe not the best thing to go with right now.
No, Harold's my hero. He's my favorite character.
I'm sorry?
Guys, we're talking about episode 13, Dragon Plays with Fire. We made it through. We made it through the final
thing. We made it.
I am joined by an awesome panel. Lucretia couldn't make it this time, but that's all right.
Because she's off fighting a dragon.
She's fighting a dragon.
Probably better than Danny did.
Tweet her all your love at Lucretia Lyon, LacretiaLyon. There is only one.
Yep. And then to my left, we've got...
Hi, all my buddies. I am Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
And I am Mike Kalinowski. You guys find me at Mike Kalinowski out there on Twitter and Instagram. Welcome, guys.
And Here we are. And I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's J-E-S-S-K-L-E-I-N, the number one. Guys, we did it. We got to the final. It took us 30 years.
It felt like a marathon.
I did my waiting. 12 years of it in Azkaban.
Wait, real quick.
We got people in the live chat that are having a good time. And we also have a Twitter hashtag, EBTV Iron Fist. So if you've got something fun to say, throw it in the hashtag, throw it in the live chat. I am keeping track of both of those.
Awesome.
Ghost8386 says, hashtag creepy zombie dad.
Hashtag creepy zombie dad is a great hashtag, and it's applicable almost everywhere. We got to the final. This has been a really challenging series, I'd say, for us. There have been some good highs. There have been some good things that we've really appreciated. There have been some lows. I enjoyed, for the most part, this final. I think when I left after watching it, my initial thought was, and we were talking about this before, if they had done this entire season, I think cutting the fat, they could have done this entire season in 4 episodes.
And that would have
set up for a very interesting season. And I think I think the reason why the Marvel Netflix series have been so successful is because, for the most part, except for like 1 or 2 episodes, they have been very lean as far as like filling in stuff and stuff that isn't need, that we don't need. Like, I think especially Daredevil season 1 was some of the most efficient storytelling any of us have seen. Like, it was an amazing origin story for Wilson Fisk, and that's what it served. And it was so good at doing that.
Yeah.
I would argue that Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are the same. I can't quite make that argument for Daredevil season 2 because it tried to do a little too much.
There was a lot going on, yeah.
In my opinion, Elektra should have been season 3.
Yeah.
Just give us a whole season of that instead of trying to Venn diagram it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But this story definitely felt less efficient as far as what we got out of it.
Agreed.
Because when we left, I was like, oh, man, how great would it have been to do a season of Danny, or like a half a season of Danny trying to find the seven cities, the seven heavenly cities.
Yeah.
Or trying to find a portal. We could have a globe-trotting trip. We could have him running into other people. We could have all sorts of stuff.
You get 4 episodes to set up his fish out of water stuff, which means we wouldn't have to deal with like 8 episodes of being like, why is this guy such a dick to everyone? And not getting the reason until 8 episodes in.
Right.
And I think it would have done well. However, we got this season, so let's talk about episode 13, Dragon Plays with Fire.
Well, real quick, Ruby LaRue in chat brings this up, and I agree. They say, I had a better time watching, but I marathoned it in one day, which makes me think the show was written to be binged and doesn't hold up as well when watched episode by episode like you guys did. So there's a difference between something released all at once and a lot of shows that we get aired that we get week to week. A lot of shows that air week to week are difficult to binge because there has to be enough in a single episode to keep you going and keep you guessing until next week rolls around.
Yeah.
And a lot of binge shows are not made to be a weekly or biweekly sort of thing.
You're not supposed to ruminate on them for very long.
I will say that I'd say that that's definitely a weakness of the show. Like Luke Cage, if you gave me an episode a week, I'd be champing at the bit, but I'd be interested the whole way through.
Sure.
This one, two episodes a week, and then it took us 4 weeks to get to, oh, you're still traumatized and messed up, and now I actually feel sorry for you, is way too much time.
Yeah.
And it is a weakness of the show, and it hurts people who can't binge watch it for one reason or another.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. So let's talk about episode 13, Dragon Plays Fire. We'll get to our final thoughts on everything eventually. But let's just go character through character. Let's just explore what happened. So what's going on is Danny has been framed as a drug smuggler and dealer. Harold has been playing this long con that this entire time, Danny's entire life, Harold has basically been setting him up to be a patsy. We see Ward is now not trusting his father still. Joy been shot, been sidelined. Claire and Colleen are kind of joining Danny in this kind of fight against the hand.
We've sidelined all our women, and it's done a very big disservice to all of them.
Well, Colleen gets some fun action in the end. I liked Colleen's ninja moments where she was like, oh, why would I take the main entrance when I could just go through the back and like take out 12 guys silently. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the two siblings, Ward and Joy. Let's see where they go through in this. So we've got Ward kind of working behind the scenes trying to get rid of his father any way he can. He's been pushed into a corner. What do we think about this kind of character that Ward has found in the last two episodes, basically?
I think he's had the best character arc in the entire season.
Yeah.
Or series, or both, actually, because the Venn diagram overlap of that is a circle. He's the one that's seen the most growth. He's the one that's seen the most change. And it's all felt very organic and very human.
Yeah.
And I have trouble saying that about almost every other character on the show. And so it's been just a ton of fun watching him and seeing him in this terrible position where his dad threw him under the bus in front of his sister and trying to fix that.
Yeah.
And knowing that his relationship with Joy is never going to be the same for multiple reasons.
Mm. Yeah, it was interesting. I liked him kind of like going into like back alleys and trying to find Danny, working with Hogarth. We had to see more Hogarth, and like that's always
a plus.
She's great, and just the $5 bill with J money written on it, and that being the shorthand, that was perfect.
Yeah, that was really dumb in the best possible way. And seeing him realize that his sister, like, he does not have his sister anymore.
Right.
Like, the last episode was all about him trying to save his sister, and now this episode is kind of about him trying to redeem everyone. Basically, he is the hero of this episode.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting transition from what he started out as.
Yeah. You
know? So, I mean, it's like, I hated him at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
God, how many episodes you hated him, and now it's just like, all right, he's the kind of guy I like now.
And that's why I maintain that he had the most growth. He had best character arc, and I'd say one of the only character arcs.
Yeah, he, you know, getting addicted to magical heroin and then getting off it is tough. So, yeah, the final confrontation is not with the hand. It is with Harold.
Which was odd.
Well, we had our hand confrontation last episode.
Yeah, last episode
we had that resolution.
We get that resolution.
Kind of.
Not really. The body disappears, so no resolution.
Right.
What did we think about Harold this episode? We see kind of his final form. Do we think that he's... Because they made the excuse that Ward in the last episode said, like, Dad left pieces of his soul behind when he died. But then Harold says, basically, he's been setting up Danny this entire time, and he's responsible for Danny's parents dying. So he was always an asshole, right?
He's always been a horrifying monster.
Yeah.
But he left some of his faculties behind. If you want to say he left his soul behind, or if you want to say that his brain has not recovered from the 48-hour oxygen deprivation shutdown that it suffered.
Yeah.
Either which way, if he had still been the way that we'd seen him before we saw him, before he, you know, suffered a stabbity death,
yeah,
I think he would have pulled this off also with much more aplomb. But even then, yeah. like the way that we saw him for the first half of the season,
yeah.
I think he would have been able to pull this plan off much more smoothly, but he had less impulse control. He had less control on his temper.
Yeah.
And that caused a lot of issues. Snapping at Joy, not being able to lie as well as he could. Just, yeah, I think that the plan that he had would have worked a lot better with his previous self, but this current one just yeah. did not have... Panache is not the right word, but he wasn't able to pull it off smoothly.
Yeah. I mean, I like his general strategy of guns against the martial arts master.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that is a good strategy. If the guy is a human and you use guns against him, doesn't matter how good you
right.
are.
Right, yeah.
I would have loved to have seen Danny do... I thought for sure we were going to see him, like, dodge a bullet or, like, punch a bullet out of the air or something like that. Like,
we did get that, though. We got the refraction off the iron fist.
I wanted it to be like he kicks a bullet out of the air.
I'm just happy that we got to see the iron fist twice in an episode. Yeah, like, you're
that
learning!
Was amazing. Yeah. three times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't really know how he thought his plan was going to work, because there's no way Joy wouldn't see the paper and see that Danny was getting... sidled with all of this stuff.
Right.
And
I think she would have seen it eventually, and by then it may have been too late to undo a lot of the damage.
Sure.
But Ward bringing her in 12 hours later or less than really cut that off at the pass, or at least removed her from things.
That, and if Harold's overall goal, which I think we can all at least agree on, that Harold wants power, but he also wants his family in power.
Yes.
I think having Joy see that is a really good way of making her turn against him. So I don't see where his plan was there, basically.
I think he also wanted his family the way he remembered them.
Yeah.
Almost as, you know, you're my little boy, you're my little girl, you never grow up. And some people don't ever get past that mindset. And he wanted them obedient to him.
Yeah.
And them doing their own thing and doing whatever they wanted to do. And Ward going against him is like, well, you're not doing what I want you to do. You're a failure as my child. Because my perfect child does this. And again, reduced mental capacity falls back on that much harder.
And we also see a lot more. We've seen it throughout the series. And we always forget that Harold is... not only mentally and emotionally abusive to Ward, but also physically abusive to him.
Oh, yeah.
I'd always forget that part, and then you see him just punch him in the gut or whatever and be like, that's for not doing it. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy is a well-rounded monster.
Yes.
Well, and that does happen in abusive families.
For sure.
The abusive member will only be abusive towards one member of the family or one child and will treat the other one just perfectly.
Yeah. So we got that Joy, who has been sidelined, she got shot through and through. She lost a lot of blood, but for the most part, I mean, I don't know. If I got shot, I think I would take a week off.
Just a week.
Even if it was a through and through. You know what?
But the thing is, a week off. A gunshot wound taken to the hospital requires a police investigation.
Yeah. There's a lot that needs to happen there. I thought for sure that was going to be the reveal that Harold was still alive, is that he took his daughter to the hospital, and like the police would need a report from the person who brings the gunshot victim.
Right.
But it was Ward taking care of all of that.
Yeah. But Harold was there. She was in his arms. I did like the moment when Harold came into Rand, and the guy was like, "Oh, sir, you can't park there." He was like, "Hey, take it for a wash."
Yeah.
Just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And just taking the sunglasses off in front of Megan. And poor Megan. I've missed her. She was great. And then we stopped having any screen time with her whatsoever.
Her desk got destroyed.
Her everything got destroyed.
But Joy is now like in a very weird place, because she's been in such a position of either trying to get power or in power, or at least calmly understanding the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's way out of... It's not in any of her knowledge. Like, her dad's back from the dead. Everyone she knows and trusts knew that her dad was back from the dead. Her brother was in a mental hospital. He's back. He's trying to kill Dad by aligning with the people that tried to kill Dad in the first place. She got...
Danny's back and has magical powers.
Yeah, she got shot. now her brother, who last episode seemed crazy, is now the sane one, and her dad's the crazy one. She understandably is incredibly confused, as are we, the viewer.
And, pretty much everything that, she knows is a lie.
Yeah, everything that she thought was going on was a lie.
Oh, that's what we should have started the episode with. Everything you know is wrong.
That is a good song as well. I will stand by Final Countdown. She goes and has this great... I loved all of the interactions between Joy and Harold in this season, mm-hmm. this arc. I thought they're fantastic. I loved this confrontation where we got a repeat of the last one, where she asks if he shot the board, if he killed the board member.
Yeah, that was good.
Where this time she asks a very generically specific question, which is what you have to do when someone's a clever jerk like Harold is. But we get this retread of like, are you responsible for this? And no, come back. And I liked how Harold really dug his claws into the lie. Like, was like, no, Danny was using us. Which, if like, if you stopped and thought about the logic of that.
He was 10 when he left.
Yeah, he was 10 when he left. He's been back alive for like a week.
Right.
And somehow he has established a drug cartel in like the corporation, like that was his plan. Like
he spent 15 years setting up this drug cartel, God. Starting at the tender age of 10. He also murdered his own parents at dear
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Harold really dug in.
It's less pulling at the thread and watching it unravel than it is realizing you never really had a sweater in the first place. You know?
Harold, that's a napkin. I'm sorry. That's not a sweater.
It's not even a napkin, friend. You have handed me a spider web and it has fallen apart. Well, what are you doing? What are you doing?
How'd you guys like that interaction? That was the highlight of this episode for me. For sure.
I enjoyed that. And I loved the information is power bit.
Yeah.
Like, you taught me that forever ago, and now I can see that you're using it against me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I've never really been on board with the family drama from the beginning, but I know that's what we got, so you had to kind of like it or not like it. So just...
I liked it. A lot. Best part of the series.
That was your thing, that you liked it.
Oh, it was absolutely my thing. No, I mean,
every episode we've talked, you, and that's what you love. And I guess for me, it's just not.
So, what did you like?
Oh, that's a $10 million.
Sorry, is that a little too on the
spot? Rosario Dawson.
That is a good thing to like.
We're going to get to her.
Hey, that's right.
She's wonderful.
I'm minding my time, guys.
we're gonna get to her. This guy.
See, I found something to like, though.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. And I think maybe that's, you know, maybe that's. Because there's been so much, like, I know, like, we talk about season 2, Daredevil, not many people are a fan of that.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, I love season 2. Love it almost more than season 1. I just, there's so much in it that I looked forward to see with Elektra, The Hand, Punisher, yeah. All Matt and his interactions in his personal life. So I think that's maybe the good thing of the series. There's something for everyone in this group of Netflix shows we're getting.
Yeah. I mean, season 2 of Daredevil was just a different type of show.
Yeah.
Season 1 was just a really well-crafted origin story for Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
And season 2 was much more of an action kind of mystery thing with ninjas, which is just a different show.
Right, yeah, yeah. So maybe that's a good way to look at all these shows. It's, you know, you might not like all 4 of them, but maybe there will be one that you will gravitate to.
This was a very long origin story this season. And I think, so you didn't like any of the family drama.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
I think the strongest writing and the strongest logic was followed in the family drama.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I think that's why it was the more satisfying part of it, is that when those people interacted, they interacted the way they had been set up to interact the entire series. And that's why I think a lot of people connected to it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to your favorite
character.
Let's do it. Let's talk about New York Claire talking, doing a lot of pizza takes, a lot of food stuff with Claire.
Yeah. now she's training with Colleen in this.
She's training with Colleen. So. She's got her claws.
I know. I mean, I know a lot of people were talking online that the chatter was that she's going to be White Tiger. I don't know if they're going to go that far with it, but I think it's the point. She's kind of now like, every show I'm in, I'm getting beat up or something with these guys. I got to start taking care of myself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think season 2 of Daredevil really kind of solidified that for her when her friend got killed by the hand. where it's like, oh, I'm going to be around.
So,
these
yeah,
people.
I mean, she really has kind of a vendetta against the Hand. It's not like she's just been an innocent bystander, kind of looped in. She's now has reason to want them gone.
I mean, these four series, five seasons have been her origin story.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we saw that when she talked with Colleen, where it was like, you were part of the Hand, and you never told me about it. You know they killed my friend, right? And
like, but we're the good Hand.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Call yourself something different then.
Right,
and the good Hand all disappeared but left Gao behind bars because that's humane.
Well, we saw that the good hand is not as good as we thought they were.
Yeah.
But there's no such...
Berkeley.
There's no such thing. Come on, UC Berkeley. Get it together. Yeah.
Nothing against Berkeley people.
No, that's just our joke name for the compound. But we also saw, again, we see Claire realized that, like, these superheroes, especially Danny specifically, out of all of the superheroes, are way out of their depth. That despite having superpowers or kung fu skills or really good editing skills that make you look like you're good at kung fu,
After Effects powers.
Yeah, that they still need help. And Claire's just kind of like, no nonsense. We saw her go to the peanut stand and start a distraction so that all the guns, where she's like, you can't go there. There are all those guns.
Right.
And Danny was like, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go fight the guns.
We're going to do it. It's a good plan.
I'm going to fight the guns. And Colleen, who has been everything, has been a strategist until this, is also like, no, I'm also going to go to the guns. Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about. Like, where characters were not written consistently. We're like, you'd think Colleen would find a strategy. She's been trained by the Hand, who are great at infiltration without being noticed.
Colleen was a different character in the first half of the show than she was the second half of the show. Yeah. It's very much like they found a completely different character.
Yeah,
and just kind of said, same name, same face, new person. Go.
Yeah,
and it was weird.
I think the Hand reveal kind of put the writers in a corner as far as who her character is,
okay.
And they did not know how to consistently write that character that they had been writing the first half of the season.
Well, and the plot point of it all hinging on her relationship with him.
Yeah.
A relationship that hadn't existed and had no foreshadowing or anything in the previous episode. Like, if you need to do an ass pull to make this work, you need to think of something else.
Right.
Like,
because that weakens your characters, your series, your everything.
Yeah, I mean, there are a million ways to make Colleen seem like that betrayal was such a weird reveal, because it was like, wait, he stalked her. Like, he basically forced himself into her life. It was not like the Hand was like, look, he's an immortal weapon. Let's have Colleen accidentally do a meet cute, have her spill ice cream on Danny's shoe.
Right.
And then throw a dollar in his hat.
Or throw a dollar in his hat or something. It was a weird reveal. But back to Claire. No nonsense, Claire.
No nonsense, Claire.
Making a fire, running away from gun guys, pizza with Davos.
I think my favorite part of Claire, my favorite bit from Claire this episode was her sitting down with the two of them and going, look, y'all need Jesus.
Yeah.
Pretty much just saying, you guys need mental help. Yeah. Neither of you are okay. You were not raised by stable people, and your first reaction to any adversity is violence, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And we've been watching such a fighting-heavy show that we really do need a character that steps back and goes, actually, violence isn't the go-to answer, and what the hell?
Yeah.
Because we as the audience accept that, yes, in this world, fighting is a good thing, and then you kind of go, oh no, this isn't Dragon Ball Z, this is New York. And we need to recalibrate, and she had the best point and approached it in a very human way, and I appreciated that a lot.
Well,
more than the peanut stand, to be honest. Yeah. And I like the peanut stand.
Well, I think it's one of the interesting things, and in the comic books, it's a thing that Danny deals with, is the fact that he is a weapon. Like, the thing that defines him is his ability to destroy and kill. And, like, it's an interesting battle that he has to deal with. He runs a dojo. He does as much good in the world as he can, even though he's defined by having this ability for destruction.
Okay.
Well, and here, Danny is just a little rage monster who needs to deal with his issues, and his issues just keep getting worse because everyone plays him like a fiddle. He does need help.
He needs a lot of help. I like that his response to Claire being like, you guys need to settle down, figure something out. His response is like, I'm going to go to China.
I'm going back to Kunlun. Yeah, that'll fix the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I do like, he's like, I need to get training. I need to know how to control this, all that kind of stuff. Claire definitely being like, look, you guys are screwed up. Both of you. I'm looking at both of you. You're both screwed up. And like, don't think you're not screwed up because you are. It was fantastic. I'm excited to see what she does in the Defenders. I'm excited to see what her role is.
Yes.
We'll get to it at the end. We'll talk about predictions going forward with the Defenders.
I do have a comment on the Defenders in the chat that I want to throw out now because chat will scroll and I will lose it by the time we hit predictions.
Yeah.
But from Ron Corleone, we have, you might be right that they could play to Danny's strengths when he's not front and center. The problem is I saw no strengths from him in the first season.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that latter assessment. He has potential. I don't think it was well handled. I do think he will be better handled when he is not Johnny on the freaking spot in the spotlight. Main character.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Defenders going forward is from what we saw of the Iron Fist in this season, I don't know what he brings to the table that isn't already covered.
That's it.
A sense of humor, usually, but yeah, question mark?
We don't have any humor now.
Grim dark superheroes are the future.
We've talked about it, and like the hand we saw in this season does not hold a candle in its hand to the hand that we saw in Daredevil Season 2. Daredevil Season 2, Daredevil fought an army of zombie ninjas and did it effectively. Danny, we saw barely stumble through a tournament of barely competent fighters, except for maybe one. And has been outmatched by Colleen and Claire sometimes as far as combat goes. And they didn't do a good job of making him seem like a strong hero, at least to me.
And I think that goes back to just actor issues. He's not a martial artist and didn't have time to train, and that's a problem on the casting side. And you can only hide that so much with story and camera before it becomes apparent to your viewers that, he's not actually a martial artist.
I mean, what they did in this episode, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they used a stunt double quite a bit in this episode. And it was awesome because you were seeing like a guy do a double kick in midair.
It was like, we're filming it in the dark and he's got a hoodie on. Let's go.
The best stuff, though, was Colleen. Like her fighting, like that's what these shows do so well. They take what is standard fighting and they just make it exciting. Like, of course, all hallway scenes, but then Colleen was like doing some kind of stylish, she was twisting around people and she kicked off the wall and then flipped over. It's like, that's the inventive stuff I wanted every episode in the season. But
she's a martial artist.
She
is.
We should see more of that.
It's a frustrating issue.
So let's get talking about Danny. So he has been betrayed by his
second father.
We saw last episode where it's like, this is his family. He has decided that the Meachums are his new family, which he could have chosen anyone else.
Right.
And it would have been a better move. Yeah. But he has decided to attach himself to the Meachums. His acting second father has betrayed him. He's on the run with Colleen because they both attacked DEA agents. They have a bunch of mounting charges against them that keep on growing the more they're on the run. They're pushed into a corner. They decide that they have to take out Harold. And Danny is convinced he must kill Harold.
Right.
He is going to kill Harold. He's getting these
because that's how he'll feel better and it'll make the anger go away.
Claire's like, what?
And he's getting these like memory power chi migraines all over the place.
They're back.
And I think again, they kind of missed a beat. Like, people keep asking Danny, like, why do you have to kill him? And he should just be saying, I am a weapon. Like, that is my job, is to kill. And he doesn't answer that, which is unfortunate. Davos.
Well, he made that big point to Davos a couple episodes ago about, I'm going to be the Iron Fist and I'm going to be Danny Rand.
Yeah. which it would be more interesting to see Danny Rand dealing with being the Iron Fist than just having two splits.
Right.
Davos is there saying, like, we need to go to Kunlun. What are you doing? Like, who cares about this guy? Who cares about New York? The gate is open. We need to get there. Your job is to defend the gate. You hugged a dragon and got that sweet tattoo. Now you get to defend the gate. We get an awesome fight. He goes in there. We see that his elevator superpowers have reached their final form, where he went up
windows,
where he went up a level in the elevator instead of taking it to the exact level, and then swung in on a window. Iron Fisted his way through a window, and then after Colleen does all these awesome stealth kills or beatdowns.
Uses Earthquake, and it's super effective.
Yeah, he uses Earthquake. It is super effective. We get this confrontation on the roof with Harold and Danny, and we see it's very much the Emperor and Luke, where it's very much like, give in to your hate, Danny.
Like, I do love that it was Ward, of all people, to come up and just completely finish it off, because I feel like he needed that.
Yeah.
He'd already tried it. And it was a good cap to his story. Like, he was determined to remove his father from the world because there's no good that can come of this. And free of that, he's able to move forward. He takes down their dad's pictures that got completely wrecked in the use of Earthquake. Like, he came out the best in this entire season. He was the only one who I think was able to move forward. There were a lot of people who stayed the same and a lot of people who got wrecked over the course of the story by the writing, by the character choices, by the whatever. But I think he's the only one that managed to move forward and come out ahead.
Also, Earthquake was awesome, by the way.
That was really cool.
We should have been seeing that from, you know.
I would have loved to have a season of that.
Yeah.
It would have been fantastic.
We know where their special effects budget went.
Yeah, one Earthquake. They did get screwed on their budget from Defenders. It's been said that a lot of the money that was supposed to go to Iron Fist instead got spent on Defenders.
Which is why we have no dragon, no superpowers.
No Kunlun.
Can't explain the costume.
Mountains in a soundstage.
Yeah.
Like,
This entire series had a lot going against it. They made a lot of bad choices, and then there were a lot of choices that were made for them that really hobbled it. Mm-hmm. So those two things, like, I think maybe one of those things would have made it a better series than it was, but both of them really hobbled it.
I'm curious to see, because I wonder why they went so quick with Daredevil 2. Because there's always going to be the four and then Defenders.
Yeah.
And then Daredevil 2 was so successful, they went, like, we got to get two out.
I mean, the plan, they were not planning on anything more than
four.
I think it was originally three and then Defenders.
Oh.
And then...
Yeah, they knocked
Iron Fist. Were they just going to pull a Hawkeye
late
with Iron Fist and be like, he's here too now?
He was really late into the game.
He was late into the game. They might have done... I think they were planning on the three Defenders and then added Iron Fist.
I wonder if that, you know, changed budget and stuff, but even still, Daredevil season 2 just seemed much more expensive than season 1. So
I mean, you had all those ninja stuff. I don't know the workings or the machinations of it. We get Danny and Harold on the roof. Danny does a sweet kick, impales Harold, Spider-Man 1's Harold into a pole. Harold basically is saying, like, finish me off. You gotta finish me off.
Right.
Danny's like, I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it.
And then he forces himself forward to shoot Danny, and then he gets capped by Ward. I don't know if you remember the second episode of this recap series, when it was just me and you. We were guessing who would kill Harold, whether it was Ward or Joy.
Most of these shows are a fever dream to me.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about it, and I think both of them had good reason to kill him, I'm glad that Ward is the one that did it.
Absolutely.
Kind of going on with that. And then, we end the episode on one of the most interesting things they did in the entire series, which is Kunlun is gone, the gate is closed. The hand got there, killed monks, killed some.
Right.
And that was Danny's job to defend that gate.
And with both Danny and Davos gone,
yeah.
Is the gate somewhere else? Did they close it early?
Yeah. and we get this weird Alfred in... It reminded me of Alfred in Spain at the end of Batman, where it's Joy and Davos having tea together.
How to ruin two of the best characters in the season in 30 seconds or less.
Like, I was like...
I understand what he's doing because Danny has failed as an Iron Fist. Danny is failing to protect the pass, and we see that that, of course, has consequences. The Iron Fist is not a title that can just be relinquished by its owner. You have it until you die, so they can't have another Iron Fist until Danny is out of the picture. Ergo, remove Danny, get a competent Iron Fist. Or what Davos deems to be a competent Iron Fist. Probably himself, but he'd probably actually be relatively okay with someone else who was born and raised in Kun Lun.
Sure. Which is a story in the comic books. Davos becomes the Steel Serpent. He tries to recreate the Iron Fist, and he fails and becomes something different.
I just don't know why, because I loved them both, and then 30 seconds right at the end of the show had me throwing things. I scared my cat.
I just don't know why Joy cares. Like, why were these two characters next to each other? Like,
they never met.
They never met before.
And like, why was Gao there?
Yeah, like, none of it...
Yeah, but, like,
none of it made sense. I was like, why are these two...
hey, guys, we're just finishing writing Defenders. We need these guys to know each other. Just can you throw a scene in there?
This is the hook for season two of Iron Fist.
Throw a scene in there so we can get them together.
Like, well, this is our sequel hook for Iron Fist 2.
And speaking of that,
Electric Boogaloo.
Let's go on to predictions for Defenders. We'll talk about what we thought of the series overall, that kind of stuff. Just overall, moving forward and looking back at the same time. Let's start at the end of the table. What do we think? Where do we think we're going forward?
I don't know, because they're now at this mountain pass, the two of them. And wasn't there just... I think Jessica Henwick was giving an interview recently about Colleen and Defenders, and they're saying she's in a different place. And I'm like, well, are we going to spend a whole episode with them coming back? Like,
God, I hope
you've
not.
You've got 8 episodes. You've got to get into it. Like, why did they...
Yeah.
I don't get that. Danny or Matt and them aren't going to find them out in Kun Lun, so it's like, what are they doing? Like,
I think they're going to hand wave them coming back to New York. I'm not expecting Defenders to start right away after the end of Iron Fist. I'm expecting a couple weeks, a couple months, a year, some modicum of time.
Okay.
Well, we also have to deal with what happened at the end of Luke Cage.
That's true.
And that
he's in jail, right? Somewhere in...
I was trying not to spoil the series for anyone who hasn't seen it.
That series has been out a year now. If you haven't seen Luke Cage, you're screwed.
I'm on his side.
Yeah,
you
had time.
Yeah.
I have walked into spoilers for other series and recaps for series where I wasn't expecting it before, so I'm trying to have some sympathy.
All right.
But yeah, that is a legal battle at the least, unless they use Danny to literally break down the prison and get him out, which is not a really good way to start things.
Just at the end of Luke Cage, I thought, well, this is a way to bring Matt Murdock in.
Yeah, that's
with
what
Jessica,
I was thinking,
knowing that they know each other and they kind of those three at least would get together. But Danny, now I'm like, well, how long is he going?
There's no way they haven't heard about him.
I'm thinking we maybe don't see Danny the first 3 or 4 episodes of
that'd be delightful.
If the big bad is the hand,
right?
And that's what
you made my night.
There you go.
And that's what we're dealing with. Is the big bad is the hand? We know there's just a hole in the middle of New York
City.
Right.
That's
that we have
the
that
Midland Hole Circle thing.
We have no idea what that is.
They also have this dock now that they've secured through Rand Enterprises.
And there's a dock. We have all of that. If we have the first half is them trying to beat the hand and failing, then we got someone chat.
Liberty Littman in chat says, they said it will take place 3 months after Iron Fist. If any of you guys can find the article and throw that in the Twitter hashtag.
That'd be awesome.
That makes sense.
I like to cite my sources.
So maybe what's been happening is Danny has been in Kun Lun with Colleen, and they have been fighting the hand there. And this is not Nice Hand or the hand we saw or Gao's hand. This is the actual hand. Ninjas, undead ninjas in Kun Lun. They've been fighting them for now 4 months. And the hand is also fighting the defenders in New York. Then we've got that hole The hole is a portal. It's to Kunlun.
Do you think that's what it is?
Danny and Colleen. I'm just speculating. Danny and Colleen come out of the hole with the hand in the hole, and Danny and Colleen, the Iron Fist, come out and like join the Defenders that way, basically.
The only thing I'd edit for that is less Danny and Colleen and Kunlun fighting the hand, and more the two of them trying to find another portal, and after 3 months coming back to New York, checking in with Rand, just kind of taking a moment to go, okay, that isn't working. Let's make sure that things haven't burned down around here. Sure. Any other alien invasions? No? Great.
Yeah, I mean, all of that works. My biggest problem with the entire series is that the Iron Fist doesn't make noise. I think if it had like a humming noise or a sound that sounded powerful.
Such a missed opportunity with that thing. Like, how many times do we see him in a fight scene where if we would make that thing, you know, glow, and then just guys with machine guns, and he's like slicing through them and breaking them and like smashing. Yeah. Like, dude, why? That's what you'd use that thing for.
That's Luke Cage's power. Luke Cage is the one who destroys machine guns.
Yeah, but he's just like...
Yeah.
Punching bullets out of this guy instead of just blocking it.
Yeah.
Punching damn bullets out of this guy. He should have been doing that thing.
In the comics, he's a good enough martial artist that he should be able to kick bullets out of this guy. Like, that is how mythical he is at martial arts, that he could, without the Iron Fist, could kick a bullet out of this guy.
I think Matt Murdock's going to kick his ass.
He is the martial arts dude.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't look like it.
There may be two other people in the Marvel universe that are more martial art dudes than him, but yeah, he should be the martial arts dude, and he's not. That being said, let's go around before we end. Just a thing we enjoyed about the series, and then we'll sign off. Just something positive. I want to leave on something positive.
Great
folks.
Stuff with Claire Temple.
Great stuff with Claire Temple.
Claire Temple and early Colleen.
Yeah,
early Colleen.
Yeah.
Like 95% of the corporate stuff, and also poor intern Kyle.
Who's Kyle?
Poor intern Kyle. No.
Yeah, for me, I thought Colleen Wing was so cool and such an awesome addition to the series and like the universe. I even liked late Colleen. I didn't like her as much, but she still was just such a good fighter that I could look past everything else. And that's it. That's it for the series, guys.
Yeah. That's it.
You can go back and watch our after shows for all the other Netflix stuff. We did Daredevil. I've done all of them. I've been a part of all of them, starting with Daredevil Season 1, going all the way through to Luke Cage and now this. I love these series, and I'm looking back. I look back on the series mostly fondly. I wish it was 4 episodes long and then a different story. But for the most part, I enjoyed it. Where can we find you guys?
Guys, find me at Mike Kalinowski.
Awesome.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me all over the social medias and on YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. I've got 2 shows premiering this week. Stay tuned to the same channel because Robots in Disguise is back in about 10 minutes. And Red versus Blue, Season 15, Thursday at 7 p.m.
I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number 1. And tonight, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You can see me right here on AfterBuzz. We're going to be talking about it. I'd love to see you guys in the live chat or on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for watching us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.